Because in it, we find out why Jesus is the bread, called the bread of life. We're going through the I am statements of Jesus, one of which was depicted here. And of course, again, I'm going to mention that whenever Jesus says, I am, in the literal sense, he's saying, I am, or I myself am, he's aligning himself with Almighty God. He's saying, I am God, because he's pointing back, way back to the burning bush when God was talking to Moses and God said to Moses, say, I am sent you to Pharaoh and to the Israelites, to Egypt. And so God, Jesus is saying that he is God here. And then we always have a predicate in the I am statements as well. So I am the good shepherd, or I am the way, the truth, and the life, or I am the true vine. And today is I am the bread of life. The passage, just a couple passages before this in John, Jesus ends up feeding 5,000 men. And of course, he feeds them bread and fish, right? And we know the story well, or most of us know the story well. If you don't know the story, you can look it up at the beginning of John 6. And Jesus has fed the 5,000 men, which if you translate that, if you add women and children into that, you're probably looking at about 10 or 11,000 people. That's the population around of Kincardine. And so if you take a look at that and you factor that in, there's a lot of people that have been just fed by Jesus. And then after that meal, Jesus retreats up a mountain. He goes away to pray to God, as he normally does. And at nighttime, then the disciples figure that it's a good idea to hop in the boat and go to Capernaum. But they're on their way to Capernaum, and they run into problems on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus walks out on the water to meet them there. And that's a whole different story that I won't get into. But after that, the water's calm. Jesus hops into the boat and they head off to Capernaum. And that's where this story starts. Some of those that were being fed across the lake are all of a sudden standing in front of Jesus at Capernaum in the synagogue. And these guys are saying, when did you get here? And Jesus said to them, you are following me not because you believe in me, but you're following me just to get your next meal ticket. You're following me here because you had your bellies filled and you want them filled again. And so this whole talk comes out of this bread motif, where the Jews are asking Jesus this issue about how he can claim that he is the Lord, that he has the power, that he is God, and what he can do for them to prove it. And he said, at least God in the wilderness gave us, our ancestors, manna, bread from heaven to feed on. And Jesus said, I am the true bread. Because that bread that you got over there, or that your ancestors got, sustained them for a little while, but they ended up dying anyway in the desert. And then afterwards in the promised land. And so we have Jesus who is saying that he is the bread of life, and that he, if you partake of him, you will live forever. And rightly so, these Jews, they see this, they go, what are you saying? We have to eat your flesh and drink your blood in order to live? What is this? What are you talking about? And indeed, I think many of us come across with this idea too sometimes. Why do we eat bread and juice symbolizing flesh and blood? Like we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper here later on today. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are going to have little glasses of juice and little bits of gluten-free bread, and we are going to partake. Now, of course, these are symbols, symbols of flesh and blood. But when Jesus says, you need to eat flesh and blood, my flesh and blood, in order to live, what is he really saying here? And these Jews, they stumbled over this because this was a problem for them. We cannot eat your flesh and blood. What are you talking about? That's cannibalism. And yet Jesus says, if you don't do this, you have no part with me. If you do not do this, you cannot be saved. You cannot live eternally if you don't do this. Now, Jesus expressed that later on, much later, when he actually, before the cross, went through at the Passover and had the Lord's Supper with his disciples. And that's what we remember today. But to get Jesus to consume him, to eat him, to eat the symbolism of him, what he's saying is, get me in you. Get me in you. Much like we eat food and food becomes a part of us. It gives us energy. It gives us strength. It gives us everything that we need. Much like that, Jesus is saying, unless you get me in you, you have no part of me. I need to be a part of you. I need to be in you. The same way that food and drink go in you. And then you will have eternal life. You know, there's elements of this story, this passage, that remind me of the woman at the well. The Samaritan woman at the well. Where the Samaritan woman, you'll find that in John 4, where the Samaritan woman comes down, Jesus happens to be there, and there's a whole bunch of social problems with that. But Jesus asked for some water. And the lady, or the woman there says, okay, well, I'll draw you out some water. And he says, you're going to thirst again for this water that you drink. You'll be thirsting again. But I give you living water that you will never be thirsty again. And Jesus is saying the same thing here. If you get me in you, you will never be hungry again. You will never want for anything else again. Because I am the way, the source to eternal life for you. But you have to allow me to get in you. And this, of course, draws on the same idea as the vine. When Jesus said, I'm the vine, this whole idea of being the vine and the branches, that you, if Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, then we need to be in the vine. The vine is an extent, or the branches are an extension of the vine. And the fruit is only produced when the vine gives the life-giving juices to the branches so that it can produce fruit. That is the way that a vine works. Well, it's the same thing here. Only when we are in, when Jesus is in us, can we actually do anything for him. Only when Jesus is in us and feeding us and nourishing us and giving us sustenance do we have the power and the ability to do this. You know, we're remembering Jesus on the cross in a couple of weeks. We're coming up to Good Friday. Jesus died so that we could have eternal life. Jesus died so that our sins could be forgiven. Okay? And this means that our plate, our slate is clean. And even though we still have residual sin, the eternal aspect of our sinful being doesn't matter to God right now. because Jesus has wiped it clean. Jesus ascended, or Jesus rose first. He rose from the dead. What did Jesus do by doing that? He paved the way so that we could have our bodies risen as well. He made it so. He opened up that door for bodily resurrection so our bodies could be raised on the last day, as it says in the text as well. And then Jesus ascended to heaven. Why? So that he could send his helper. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God right now, at the throne of God. And we have the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, living within us. So just as the same way that the vine produces fruit, by extension then, we can honestly say that we are Jesus to other people. Did you ever hear that? Did you ever hear that thought or that phrase? You are Jesus to other people. I've heard this a few years back, where somebody came up to me and says, you are Jesus to other people. And I said, no way. I said, no. Jesus is Jesus, and I am me. And yes, I love him, and we have this connection, that type of thing. And I count on him to be my Savior and Lord. But there's no way that I am Jesus to other people. But if you believe in Christ, you are, in fact, Jesus to other people. You can't help it. Because if Christ is in you, he's coming out of your pores. I'm sorry. You are exuding who Jesus is. Despite all of your misgivings, despite all of your downfalls, despite your characteristics that you might not agree with, despite everything about you that you think is wrong, because of Christ, you are perfect in God's eyes. You are perfect in God's eyes. You know, I just got my picture taken for the wall of shame, or the wall of fame, sorry. The wall of fame for all the pastors, they need to have their picture taken, the 8x10, and there's a blank spot where mine was, and it took me a while to get this done, but it's finally done. I got the picture, and it's beautiful. Well, as beautiful as it can be. And I asked Annalise, and Annalise is here, and I asked Annalise, can you make me beautiful? Because I know, I look in the mirror every day, okay? And I know what I see. And she didn't Photoshop anything, if that's what you're thinking. But that picture represents Jesus to people that are around me. Even that I am flawed in many, many ways, and many of you know that. You are Jesus. I am Jesus to other people, and you are too. And this is something to behold, because when we have Christ in us, we can't help it. It is part of us. Just as Christ is in us, the same way that we partake of food and of drink, he is in us. He becomes part of us. We exude him. He comes out of our pores. He is around us all the time. People notice this stuff. Now, if this doesn't make you shake your head in utter amazement, or if you are not believing this like I did earlier, going, there's no way. Or if you're not in total awe or jumping to the moon in joy because of this, then I fear for you. At least if you're thinking about it, if you're considering this situation that Christ is in you and working through you, the Holy Spirit, God Himself in you, And we hear this stuff all the time in church, but to actually say that Jesus is living in me, that part of Christ is in me, and that this is this table is a symbol of all of that, once again, hey, come on. You got to be, if you're not even thinking about that, if you're just going, meh, yeah, it's just another day, then I fear for you. This is a revelation for us all. It's a revelation of the reality of Jesus being the bread of life. Because it's only through him that we can have eternal life, says the text. It's only through Christ that we can live. It's only through the bread of life. Let's come to God in a time of prayer. Lord, as we partake in the Lord's Supper in a little bit, and as we look at that and feel it and touch the bread and taste the bread and the juice, and as we get the symbols of you in us, because this is a sacrament of our church, Lord, and as we go through the physical part of the invisible love that you've shown to us by dying, by rising, and by ascending to heaven and sending your Spirit to us, let us be ever more mindful of that as we participate in the supper. Let us be ever more mindful of that, Lord, as we are ingesting these elements, the bread and the juice, and symbolizing you being in us so that we can go out into the world and be Christ to the world, being the light, being the fruit, being the people of God. Bless us as we partake, and in the coming week, as we meet with others in Jesus. Amen. We'll rise and sing a song of response. My Jesus, I love thee.